Now this morning our theme is comfort and comfort in a fallen, broken world. And you know from your own experience and the experience of those around you that life in this world is hard, isn't it? It's a fallen world we live in, it's a broken world that we live in, and inevitably that means life is hard. Doesn't matter whether you're young or old, inevitably we all experience that reality. Of course there are times when God will give us great blessings in life. It may be the blessing of a loving family or a joyful marriage or a rewarding and pleasing job. But even with those blessings that God gives us in life, those things are still hard, aren't they? Raising kids is hard work. Marriage is hard work. Work is stressful and often unfulfilling. And that's the good things. What about the hard things in life? Supporting aging parents, chronic illness, struggling marriages, wayward kids, controlling parents, hurtful behaviour, belittling words. And when we face tough times in life, as we inevitably will, often the thing that we desire in those times of hardship is comfort. We want someone to listen, to be there, to empathise with us, to know what we're going through. And it's in those times we take solace from having someone who will sit beside us, put an arm around us, and give us a shoulder to cry on. In those times we want someone or something to give us comfort. Well, King David, who wrote this psalm about 1,000 years before Jesus, was a man who knew dark and difficult times in his life. He was the king of Israel, and he had his fair share of trials and sufferings throughout his life. He was looked down upon by his older brothers and despised by them. He was treated unjustly by his master, King Saul. In fact, King Saul tried to hunt him down and kill him, so David was forced to flee for his life and live as a fugitive for many years. He suffered tremendous guilt for his own sin. He had a wife who turned against him. One of his sons died because of his own sinfulness, and another one of his sons actually killed the remainder of his sons. How does a man deal with that type of tragedy and suffering like that? What does a man do to cling to, or what does David cling to in the midst of such pain in his life? Well, Psalm 23 is the answer to those questions. And this morning as we reflect on the struggles and dark days that you and I have experienced, are experiencing, will experience at some point in the future, then Psalm 23 is a wonderful psalm for us to reflect on and look at, because it shows us now where we can find true comfort for both now and the future. It offers truths that will help us to have peace and hope in the midst of pain and uncertainty. And this morning, so we're going to look at this psalm. We see there in our outline under two headings. God offers us comfort for the now, and God offers us comfort for the future. So that's where we're going this morning as we look at the psalm. I want to grab the clicker from Steve. All right, so let's look at our first point, that God offers us comfort for the now. Now, Psalm 23 is a great psalm for us to think about comfort in the midst of our pain and our struggles. And in verse 1, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, when we think of a shepherd, we instinctively think of the pastoral role of a shepherd, don't we? So a shepherd who cares for his flock, who nurtures them, who provides for them, who protects them, he tends them. And it's a wonderful picture of this intimate relationship that David has with the Lord God himself. God is not just a distant king or deliverer. He's not this impersonal rock or shield. God is a shepherd who cares for his people, and his people are his flock. And the Lord is my shepherd is such a familiar phrase, you no doubt heard of it many times, that it's very possible for us to miss the significance of this truth. David is saying here that the eternal God of the universe is his personal shepherd. David could rightly have said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your shepherd." But he doesn't. He says, "No, the Lord is my shepherd." It's this very intimate personal relationship that David has with the God himself. However, David's description of the Lord as shepherd is much greater significance than just the pastoral, intimate nature of that relationship. Because in ancient times, kings of ancient nations were often referred to as the shepherds of their people, and that was true for Israel as well. But the kings of Israel were referred to as the shepherds of Israel. So, for example, in 2 Samuel chapter 5, when the people come to David and want to install him as king, they say, "In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns, and the Lord said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler or prince.'" So here's David, the shepherd and king of Israel, referring to the Lord God as his shepherd and king. David was a shepherd and king, and he's saying, "No, God is my true shepherd and king." And so David knows that the one who is shepherd is sovereign, but the one who is sovereign is also shepherd. And David knows that because the Lord is his shepherd, then he shall not want. The meaning here is not that David won't desire or want things. The meaning here is that he won't be left wanting. We've been told that the Lord's sheep are not lacking anything, according to what David has to say here. But how's this true? I mean, you don't have to leave the psalm to see that the sheep are lacking things. I mean, they have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In what sense, then, can it be said that God's sheep shall not lack anything? Well, John Piper is helpful on this. He says, what David means is that God's sheep never lack anything that the shepherd thinks is good for them. That God's sheep never lack anything that the shepherd thinks is good for them. And we see this there in the next verse, don't we? David says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters." What else does sheep want? Nice green grass to munch on? Nice clean fresh water to drink? That's a sheep's life, and the shepherd provides for it. And just as green pastures and still waters revive and restore the well-being of a shepherd's flock, so the presence of the Lord with David is something that helps revive David's soul. To know that the Lord is with him, that the Lord is guiding him, protecting him, caring for him, to have the Lord with him and watching over him gives him peace and contentment and joy and revives his soul. Even when David is walking through the valley of the shadow of death, he has no need to fear evil. Even when he's going through those dark days of persecution and guilt and anxiety and suffering and grief, David finds comfort knowing that the shepherd king is not out there leading from a distance. The shepherd king is beside him, walking with him. His rod to defend him, his staff to guide him. I remember when I first became a Christian, I came across this poem called Footprints in the Sand. You may have a copy of it somewhere on a plaque or a poster at home or a card. It's a little bit kitschy, but it captures the somewhat of what David is saying here in Psalm 23. And it goes like this. "One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life that there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened to be at the very lowest and saddest times of his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about, and the Lord said that once, Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me." The Lord replied, "I love you, my precious, and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." Now, friends, it's here in verse 4 that we have the centre or the main point of the psalm. The reason David finds peace and contentment and joy and comfort is because the Lord is with him. The Lord is present with him at all times. He's with him in the good times. He's with him in the hard times. And David finds comfort that the Lord is with him every step of the way. Now, this can seem all a little bit fanciful and idealistic, especially if you're going through hard times right now. However, this Lord as our shepherd suddenly gets very real and very personal when we remember what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 11, where he says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." You see, Jesus is saying he is the shepherd of Psalm 23. It's Christ himself that David is pointing to. And the reason we know that this shepherd is good and that he cares for us and that he loves us is because not only does he lead and guide and protect his sheep, but he actually lays down his life for his sheep. And it's in the laying down of his life for his sheep that Jesus is able to give us his peace and contentment and joy that we are so desperately needing and searching for. Because in the laying down of his life on the cross, that's where Jesus wins for you and I the forgiveness of sin and the restored relationship with our Father in heaven we so desperately need. Because that's our greatest need. That's what our souls are yearning for, to be right with our Creator. And it's because Christ is the Good Shepherd protects you from your enemies of sin and Satan and death that you shall not be in want when you face God in judgment on the final day. In other words, the Good Shepherd Jesus restores your soul. He does that in two ways. Firstly, he restores your soul with God. You've heard of that emergency code, SOS, Save Our Souls. Well, that's what the Good Shepherd has done in laying down his life. He's saved our souls. Because ultimately, it's not the material comforts in life that are most important. What is most important is our spiritual restoration. At the cross, the Good Shepherd has saved our souls. The second way he restores our soul is he brings you peace and contentment and joy, because when you know the Good Shepherd and trust and follow him, it means that you have nothing to fear, nothing to be anxious of, nothing to be searching for, because it's all been taken for you and given to you by the shepherd himself. And friends, when you walk through those dark days of the valley of the shadow of death, you can know that the good shepherd himself knows exactly what you're going through. Because while you and I may walk through that valley of darkness, Jesus Christ gave up his life in that valley of darkness. And the reason Jesus can walk alongside you and I in that valley of dark days and, where necessary, carry you and I in our weakness and in our brokenness and in our sinfulness is because he walked through that valley himself and he came out the other side. Death could not hold him down and had no power over him. You see, only the Lord is able to lead you through death. As one commentator says, all other guides turn back at this point. All other guides turn back when they come to death, but not Christ. He went through it, and he came out the other side, and therefore he's able to lead you through the darkest days, even death itself. Over the last couple of weeks, I've had numerous conversations with people who are going through hard times. And it struck me how much Psalm 23 is so relevant for all of us today. That there will always be things in life that make it hard, where we'll struggle, where we'll suffer, where we'll experience pain and hurt, whether it's suffering or persecution or anxiety or guilt or betrayal or hardship or grief. And often when we're going through those tough times, we yearn for some comfort to take our mind off the pain and to ease the pain we're experiencing. We search for comfort in other things. It might be seeking comfort and easing the pain in alcohol or in intimacy and sex. It might be shopping or food or gaming or drugs. And friends, if you've ever turned to those things to escape the pain of what you're going through, you'll know those things, they don't satisfy. They never will satisfy. They'll often leave you feeling worse. And even if you do manage to find some comfort for a short amount of time, when the comfort is over and you wake up, the pain and the suffering is still there. But what Psalm 23 does is it points us to the real comfort that we have in Christ and his assured presence with us. That is, in Christ you shall not want. for all we truly need is found in him. He gives us a love and an intimacy that no relationship can match. He restores the soul in a way that no holiday can. He gives us a peace of mind that no drug can do for us. For in those moments of darkness, true comfort is knowing the Shepherd King is walking there beside you. And he's walked through the valley before you and for you. Well, the Lord's presence not only brings us comfort for the here and now, but the Lord's presence also brings us comfort. That'll do. Comfort for the future. David recognised this in the last two verses of the Psalm, verses 5 and 6. And in these verses, 5 and 6, David speaks of the great blessing that comes to those who follow the Good Shepherd and then arrive at the final destination of the great banquet. It's like arriving at the palace of the king at the end of your journey. And there's a picture of this of a guest being welcomed into the palace for a great banquet where there's all manner of choice food being prepared. And there's a bit of gel or broom cream or hairspray to fix up your hair, and the Penfolds Grange never ends. It's a wonderful picture, isn't it? A metaphor of this banquet, this what life for the future looks like for those who follow and rest in the Good Shepherd. The great banquet, the anointing with oil, the overflowing cup, give us this wonderful picture of the welcome and the provision that God pours on those who come to him. Now, the image there of the banquet that we have is fairly common in most cultures. It's association with eating and food fellowship. So when you're invited to eat with people, especially invited to a banquet, well, that's a mark of fellowship and friendship, isn't it? And in addition, throughout the New Testament, we know that heaven is portrayed as a banquet. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus teaches the parable of the great banquet, which is a picture of heaven and all who are invited to that banquet. In Luke chapter 15, when Jesus tells the parable of the lost son, and that this wayward son who comes home to the father, and the father throws a banquet, a celebration and a feast to celebrate the fact that his wayward son's come home. It's a picture of heaven. And to eat with the Lord is to be in fellowship with the Lord, to be in covenant with the Lord, just like the disciples did at that Last Supper, the night before Jesus was killed. And so to be a guest at the Lord's table, friends, is to be more than an acquaintance invited for the day. No, to be invited to the banquet table of the Lord is to be in his presence forever, to live with him. And the anointing with oil is something that was customarily done in those days, a way of welcoming honoured guests. So that's a picture of the welcome that God's people receive at the banquet. And then the picture of the cup is interesting. The overflowing cup that David speaks about there in verse 5. If you look back at the Old Testament, there's two images of the cup. The first is more sinister. It's a cup of judgment and wrath. And it's for those who are enemies of God who are forced to drink the cup of wrath, and which is poured out on them. The second image, however, which fits more with the context of Psalm 23 and the image which we see in Psalm 116, is the cup of blessing, a cup of salvation. This is the cup that David's referring to here in Psalm 23. And this cup that the Lord gives him is overflowing with blessing, overflowing with salvation. And so these two verses are describing the experience that David knows that he will receive at the hand of his shepherd king as he's welcomed into the presence of the Lord. It's a picture of peace and joy and blessing and salvation as he dwells in the house of the Lord forever. Now, if any of you have ever been involved in planning a wedding, you'll know that one of the most stressful parts of planning a wedding is working out the guest list. Who gets to come to the wedding and who misses out? Does your third cousin's boyfriend get a seat at the table? Does mum's pen pal from 35 years ago get a jersey? Even worse is when a family member or a friend announces they're getting married and you're left wondering, am I going to get invited? Well, friends, the event of eternity is coming. And the question is, will you be invited? Do you have the comfort of knowing the experience of that heavenly banquet that David is describing there in Psalm 23? Well, the answer to that question comes from the Good Shepherd himself. In John chapter 10, when Jesus is talking about himself as the Good Shepherd, he said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." And so, friends, if you want the comfort now, for the now and for the future that comes from knowing the Lord as your shepherd, then you need to hear his voice. You need to follow him. You need to hear his call to you and listen to his word. And then when it comes to that event of eternity, well, there's no doubt whether you'll be there or not. You're in. You've got a seat at the table. And you'll be part of that heavenly banquet hosted by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And this is the great hope the gospel gives us, friends. No matter what life throws your way, there is a victory banquet ready and waiting for you to attend. And the reason that you and I can drink that cup of blessing and salvation, which is overflowing, is because Jesus drank from the other cup, that cup of wrath that was overflowing with judgment. You see that? Because Christ drank from the cup of judgment, you and I can drink from the cup of salvation. And that means that you and I have no need to fear. And we can be kept confident that we'll share in the great blessing of that eternal banquet of Psalm 23 that David's pointing us to. Can you say with King David, "The Lord's my shepherd"? Do you listen to his voice? Do you follow him? Because if you do, friends, you have comfort for the now, comfort for the future. For when you listen to the voice of Jesus and you follow him, not only are you assured of your invitation to that heavenly banquet, you're also assured that you'll never lack anything that the shepherd thinks is good for you. Knowing that Jesus walks alongside you through your darkest days and he provides true comfort in the midst of your darkness. And so this year, will you look to Jesus for all that you need, for the comfort you desire? And will you trust in him to give you what he has promised? For if you say, "The Lord is my shepherd," then you can be sure of his presence with you both now and for eternity. And so you can say with Paul, the Apostle Paul, that in Christ, your shepherd king, then these words are true for you. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, "In all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither life, death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let me pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we praise you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, into the world to be our Good Shepherd. The one who would drink from the cup of wrath so that we might drink that overflowing cup of salvation and blessing and have a seat at your eternal banquet table. Lord, we pray that you help us to listen to the voice of our shepherd Jesus, to follow him, so that we may know for certain the comfort of him walking alongside us now and the comfort of being in his presence for eternity. And as we walk through the valley of darkness, Lord, we take comfort knowing that Jesus has walked it for us, that he's gone through the valley and come out the other side, that death could not hold him down. And that even in the midst of our trials and sufferings, he's there with us, and when necessary, carrying us and sustaining us. So, Lord, we ask that today we might turn to Jesus and trust in him as our true shepherd king, the one who gives us the comfort we desire and the comfort we need. We pray in his mighty name. Amen.